Well, good morning, everybody. On the chat, I know that the internet is out there in Texas, unfortunately. But Lord, I just lift up that power situation. Lord, I ask you to just restore that internet and that power come on so they can do their services and we can partake of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I was saying while you're up here, Brad, and I know that it was kind of, I was giving a lot of information out, and he goes, one of the things was is that you said, I mean, it's always good to hope, but what you said was, I hope I don't, what was the exact words? I hope I, you hope you can maintain it, or hope you don't leave from that place, or whatever the case may be. And what I was talking to him about was, you know, in Hebrews it talks about the sin that what so easily besets us. Unbelief. One of the things is about this is that you don't give it a place. I mean, just the fact that I hope I don't, you know, I hear you, but don't give it a place. If it raises its ugly head in that sense, you don't give it place. You don't give it place. None. Zero. Like, man, I hope, you know, it's in a place of doubt. You just don't give it any place. Because the Lord is well able. He is well able. Okay? And it's not about how able we are. It's all about how able He is. And see, that's the thing that, man, that's what we trust and that's what we count on. But to come to that place, and for you to come to that place is recognize that you can do nothing without Him. You can't do anything without Him. You bring nothing to the table. Nothing at all. Filthy rags, you know, nothing. But He's well able. We were singing that song, "We Feast at the Table of the Lord," man. He has everything you need. Everything you need. But we have been talking about, you did highlight a point, which I'm glad is what I was thinking about, and you did did that song, "Humble Yourselves in the Sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." And there is a big difference between being humbled and humbling yourself. And humbling yourself. And some of the process that goes on within ourselves and the battle that we have, it really truly takes humility to receive those things that the Lord has for you. It takes absolute humility. I know just this past week on a couple of fronts that I have addressed to a couple of people about certain things, was on their part, it was going to take humility for them to receive Him. I know you were in Colossians there, and I wanted to kind of highlight this point. And it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." I mean, when you receive Christ Jesus, man, fell flat on your face. Man, had no hope. You have gotten in a pit so big, it's too big for you to get out of, too big for you to climb out of. You had no hope. The weight of the world was on your shoulder, the weight of your own sins, and those burdens were down there upon you. You had no hope. You were in what? Humility, man. I mean, you knew nothing. You had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, but turn and look at Him. And He's the one that washed those things away. And those burdens come rolling away. It was Him that did that. It was Him that did that. But it was in this place that I was highlighting to somebody their errors. Now, and I mean, when I was highlighting these things and his errors, I mean, quite frankly, it could have been two things that it went down. They could have got puffed up and all these kinds. I mean, they could have got puffed up, rejected that which I was telling them, or they could have humbled themselves. They could have humbled themselves, received that word, and received His grace and mercy, and get shed of that thing that was ailing them. See, that's the thing right there. The whole thing that I was talking to to them about and pointing out to them was it was a burden and it was locking them up from going forward. It was just another way of the Lord's process of getting shed of the garbage, and the unbelief and the things that are not of Him. It was just a part of that process, but it could have been gone two ways. It could have been rejected, and they would have stayed in that same place and have that weight still on their shoulders and not would have been, wouldn't have gotten free of that stuff. Or they could have humbled themselves, heard the word that I was saying, and get shed of it and grab the freedom that they have. And guess what? It was a praise the Lord, and I am so happy about it, is that they humbled themselves. They received that counsel, heard, didn't justify himself, heard those things, and got shed of it. And then the situation that that person was in got turned around, followed the suggestion and the counsel of the Lord, and they humbled themselves, received it, and they got that thing turned around, and that situation got turned around. That could have been very ugly, called a lot of division, but was redeemed. It was redeemed. And see, that's an awesome thing, man. See, the Lord is mighty. And the other thing was, is that you've seen how the Lord operated through His line of authority. That person can see how the Lord operated through that line of authority and how the Lord has set it up that way and it be a safety net for them. A absolute safety net for them. And see, it all comes down from who? The Lord. The Lord. And see, it was a beautiful thing, but see, it took humility. It took humility on their part. It did not just take humility on their part unto the Lord. It took humility upon their part to others and all kinds of things. And it was an awesome thing. And so there is a big difference between humbling yourself and being humble. Being humbled's not so fun. So let's go ahead and just humble ourselves, amen? Because look, in the process of what happens is that the Lord wants to get you shed of unbelief. He wants to get, what does He say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, those burdens that are upon you, He wants you shed of. He wants you to be free of. See, the problem that happens with us, though, a lot of times, is the burdens that we're holding on to, we think are great. I mean, we really do. I mean, we think that, man, I mean, we're thinking, we're hanging on to this thing, and we're thinking, man, this is good stuff, man. You know, I got this in a sock, you know, I got this thing, man, that was, this is some good stuff. And then a minister comes by and goes and tells you, that stuff is pride and iniquity and idolatry, self-righteousness, and it's no good for nothing. And you need to get shed of it because it's going to drag you down to hell. And then you go, what? Huh? I mean, I thought that thing was great. No, it's not. It's nonsense. What? You mean to tell me That which I thought was so great is nothing? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. See, it's going to take humility on your part to receive that. And to say and get yourself on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I apologize. Lord, I repent. Lord, I don't want this to be a part of me anymore. I want to be shed of that nonsense. I want to be shed of that garbage. Lord, I lift those things up to You. Lord, I cast them upon You. I can't carry these things. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And watch. Watch what He does. And it's amazing. I can see this past week, amongst a couple of my brethren, and cistern where this has taken place. And they got up and it was a relief unto them. And they received that grace and that forgiveness. They received that love. They received that mercy, and they got shed of some garbage. I mean, praise God. Praise God. And as I look across what the Lord is doing within the body, all I can say is praise God, because it's a great work that He is doing. It's a great work that He's doing. But I want to go ahead and go to James 4, and I might have just already talked about everything I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure. All right. There's some things in here. I think I'm going to start chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts." And I want to go, because I want to get down to a further part down from here. But if you look at this, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members?" Look, man, the wars, I mean, James is writing this to the church. But I want to highlight that James is writing this to the Jews at this point. And he's highlighting the point of the wars and fightings that come amongst between the body that was going on there was upon their own lusts. It was the lust of the flesh, quite frankly. It had nothing to do with anything else but that. "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because what? You ask not." I mean, I don't know how many times that just simply asking the Lord for something, not putting it in a place or putting amongst or even amongst others, quite frankly, put it in a place of just even where you come into that place where you don't have a thing because you haven't asked for. I remember there was a time at work. It was an interesting thing that we were slammed. There was only 3 people in the lot at that point, and we sent somebody to go get lunch, so that only bring 2 people out of shop that were working at Gerald's at that time. It's a slower store than some of the other stores, but however, 2 people, phones ringing, you got to do the bill outs, you got to greet the customers, and they're coming up to you as you're trying to do the work on top of it. So you can just kind of picture the amount of flow and the multitasking you really got to perform in a manner that is pleasing, and you're still doing the customer service and pleasing to the customers there. And I remember we were hungry, man. You can tell it was starting to get to the guys. It was getting to me. I mean, we were hungry, and I asked the Lord, you know, instead of getting all peed off, angry about the situation, "Lord, why is this happening? You know, all these things. We're so hungry," or getting mad at my employers. "Why did you set it up for us to have to deal with it this way? This is impossible." Instead of all these attitudes that come flaring up within I could very allow for my flesh to go down that route, quite frankly, and I could let my soul listen to my flesh and go down that route. I really could have. I said, this is what I did. Instead, I said, "Lord, could you give us a break here, Lord? Could you just kind of slow down this workflow so that we can just get our bellies filled? Lord, I thank you for the work that is at this store. But Lord, these guys are hungry, and I am too. Please give us let this thing just back off a bit so that we can get some food in our bellies." And you wouldn't believe it, in the amount of 10 to 15 minutes of clearing that lot, we had about 15 to 20 minutes where all of us could just scarf down our food. And guess what? When we were done, guess what happened? Boom, business came right back. Business came right back. I said, thank you, Lord. Simple question. Simple question. And I use that as an example because how many times do we do that with the Lord? Instead of just humbling ourselves and asking the Lord, or humbling ourselves and asking somebody for a thing, we'll sit back and judge them why they're not doing something that we think they ought to do. Or how many times do we go, oh Lord, why is this happening to us? Because the situation seems to be too much for you. Instead of just asking Him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Instead of just asking Him. Not only that, the battles that we do go through in the situations that are overwhelming and too big for us, guess what? Well, we're not supposed to be operating in our strength anyways, are we? No, it's just opportunity to exercise faith in what He is able of doing and what He's capable of doing. And see, when you enter into that rest, you cease from your own dead works, you enter into His rest. Because then you're not operating in yourself. You're not trying to handle it yourself, because I tell you, I cannot. But in Him, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. But I highlight just that asking point. Just humble yourself and ask Him. Now, you ask, and number three, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Amiss. That you may consume it upon your lust. A lot of times you ask for certain things and these kinds of things because you want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which the Lord didn't come to save your flesh. This thing's cursed. It's going back to the ground. Don't go back to the ground with it. He's come to save what? Your soul and your spirit. See, that's what He came to save for. So why would He give you that which would be a thing that would harm you? And the thing that would drag you down to hell? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. It's interesting. I've been listening to the audio of the spiritual gifts, and I'm still listening to it. But David was talking about understanding spiritual gifts here is when you have the spiritual gifts, so you've got to get rid of idolatry. Because you'll be worse off if He gives you spiritual gifts and you've got idolatry in your heart already. What? It's going to lift you up in pride even more. It's going to be worse for you. So He ain't going to do that. For your own sake, He's not going to do that. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Look, it's interesting to read here. You adulterers and adulteresses. Now we know from pretty good concept that we're not talking about going in and you know, cheating on your wife or your husband and these kinds of things. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about taking upon His name, taking upon His way, where you become His bondservant, slave, whatever you want to call it. You're His servant. And you go about doing your own thing. That's what it's talking about here. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Look, man, if you're a friend of the world and you're putting the world and the things in it all before Him, isn't that, well, one, you're being adulterer and adulteress and just even that. But the Lord has His kingdom. Satan has his. All right? And you can go back to where Jesus was tempted of the devil. And where He says He lifted Him up on a pinnacle and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. And He said, and I'm going to be paraphrasing this, and He says, all these things. You see all this? All these things I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus counterattacks, you should all worship the God, Lord God only, and him thou shalt serve. And I think I'm butchering that, so please forgive me. But Jesus did not argue the fact with Satan that that was his. He didn't argue that fact. He didn't argue that fact at all. This world is in bondage to the enemy, and it's cursed, and it always will be cursed. His kingdom is higher. His kingdom's in the spirit. His kingdom is higher than this kingdom. And so if your friendship with that kingdom, you're at enemy with God. And kind of put it there, perspective there to highlight that. Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I just said that. Oh, praise God. Do you see how that works? Where he's coming from in that? Now, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I mean, that is the spirit of this cursed flesh. It lusteth to envy. Which is the spirit in this world. It seeks its own. I mean, you can take that verse in Corinthians about love, about charity there, and just reverse. It's like opposite of all that. It's all about seeking its own. It's all about pleasing itself. It's all about itself. What I want, what I want. Number one, take care of number one. I mean, that's what you see out there in this world, don't you? Don't you see it just ruling things? I mean, why do you think in other countries, I mean, we actually got it good in this country, but man, you see in these other countries where I want that right there, I'm just going to go kill you and take it. You don't want to join with me, you're dead. I mean, that's how it is in the other worlds. I mean, Steve was telling me stories about, we don't really have a clue here in America how it is out there. It is bad. And he's telling me stories about this thing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, is there anybody to stop this? He goes, who? Who? I mean, you would take Saddam Hussein would sit there with his, sit there with his cigar, and he would call people up as they were saying, you know, hail Saddam Hussein or whatever. And they would go up and he would say, loyal. No, they didn't get killed. And it had nothing. And then he would say, traitor. And then they would go out, take that man and go and just kill him. They would just go kill him out there. Now, I say that from the point of just how bad that is. Now I do have to say that as me, as far as a sinner, I'm no different than Saddam Hussein, quite frankly. But anyways, let's continue on. I'll go down a rabbit hole there. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but what? Giveth grace unto the humble. See, he resists the proud. And see what happens when you become humbled. When you are being humbled, let me highlight this. When you're being humbled, it's actually a grace to you in the sense of, because that pride within yourselves and the way that you've been going is not acceptable. And it won't be acceptable around those that are truly his ministers. And see, that's a good thing for you. That's a good thing for you. It's a safe thing because, you know, you're on the outside about to get eaten up by a bunch of wolves, and that sheepdog, our minister, and I related to a sheepdog, comes nipping at your heels. What are you doing? Get out of the way. And that, you know, you might be turning around, what the heck is wrong with him, man? And what you didn't even realize that you were about to go to the dark side of the woods and get eaten and killed. What's up, Lisa?
It's just funny and I can relate to it, so make it even funnier.
I understand. I mean, praise God. But look, but he giveth what? Grace to the humble. Brad, when you went out there and you hit your face on the dirt and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. You see, before then you were being humbled. Wasn't so fun. See, he resisteth the proud. You're being proud. And the ministers are saying, get out of that place. Get out of that place. That's what Steve was telling you. Get out of there. Get out of that place. You hit your face before the dirt. And you humbled yourself. And man, it was like a relief. I mean, praise God. I mean, I heard that report. I was like, praise God. Hallelujah. My brother coming on board. I'm excited. But look, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now this part, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. The thing about this is the thing of actually taking that advice that is given to you, no matter if it comes down through his line of authority for the most part, and you submit yourself to it. No, you don't just, it's not just, I'll just do this because, no, you submit it, you believe it, you do it trusting the Lord. Not trusting that person, but no, you do it trusting the Lord. I mean, that's what submitting yourselves unto Him is. And you go out and you trust the Lord, you do that thing and you do it wholeheartedly. Not half-cocked. See, that's where a lot of times where people don't receive the blessings because they go into this thing and they go into it half-cocked. You know why I know this? Because I've done it! I've done it so many times and I did not receive the blessing. But praise God because of His grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for His grace and mercy and give me more opportunity to when I did do that. Heartily, not half-cocked, but wholeheartedly submit myself unto the Lord. I received a blessing. And you know the other thing was? I received a blessing, but guess who else received blessings? Of folks around me, absolutely. See, that thing started spreading. Praise the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I wanted to highlight this point. It was just kind of like that point I was talking about this morning where where he's talking about, you know, I hope to remain in that place. No, I will remain in this place. Enemy, I am not letting you have a hold of my life. I will not listen to the lies and the BS that you're trying to feed me through my flesh. I will not listen to it. Go down. Because the Word of God says this. The Word of God says this. Says, you will have tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world and I am in Christ Jesus. And I will not accept anything else. You stand on that Word of God. You don't move from that Word of God. In Him is light and there's no darkness at all. So when your tail gets chastised by that sheepdog, you know it's for His good. You know that in Him is light and there is no darkness at all. And you take that advice, you receive it, you humble yourself, you repent before the Lord, and you turn around and receive the good things that He has. Taking the place of that garbage that you were hanging on to. See, that's humility. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And that's one of those things. Do you really take that seriously? Once again, do you do that thing half-cocked? Do you half-cocked? Or do you really draw yourself nigh unto the Lord? I mean, see, and this is a point where I can tell you, when I have done this, the Lord does draw nigh to me. You don't know how many times I come to a place, even this morning, come to the place praying to the Lord in utter depravity. Utter depravity, not knowing where to go, what way to go, which way to perform. And you know, Lord, I'm your servant, Lord. Lord, I am your servant. I'm here to do whatever you would have me do. And Lord, I am here. Lord, just use me. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. And I sit there and I submit myself. When I put my face on that floor, I let out all the things, all the struggles. I hold nothing back unto Jesus. I can talk to Him about anything. Talk about anything. Laying it all out. And when I get up and from those things and I go and step out still not having a clue, what has happened? The Lord starts opening things up. Praise you, Lord. The Lord just starts to happen. This day starts to go on. And in every situation, as I just lift him up, I lift him up, and he shows me, and he shows me a clear path. And I get myself in a mess. You know what? I lift that up to the Lord. But how many times do you just take the Lord and you put him on the back burner and you're about set your face like flint, not to do his thing, but to do your own thing? And the next thing you know, oh yeah, Lord, I forgot about him. See, he is right there. What does it say? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Look, man, seek him. And you shall find. That's what the word says. Knock, and it shall be opened. That's what the word says. So, if anything's come in between you that, and you're seeking wholeheartedly, and you're seeking to find him, and find that opening entrance to him, and to do the things that he would have you do, what does the word say you'll do? You're going to find it. The door will be opened. That's what the word says. And anything else that tells you otherwise, you don't take heed to it. You don't take heed to it at all. You cast that thing out with a vehement, with a pure prejudice. You put your foot right on it and you don't give it any place. Say, you shut up, flesh. Shut up. You have no hold on me. No hold. And you don't let that sway you from serving the Lord. Even if you're sitting there going, no answer yet, no finding yet. I don't care. I'm going forward. You know what the beautiful thing is? You know what the beautiful thing about it all is? Is we got the line of authority that he's given the church. He's given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We're all to be partaker of that. Because we're all one body. At the same time, in the midst of that, we have our disciples, and we got that line. We can go to, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. I don't know which way to go with this thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's how the Lord set it up. And what does the Lord do on your behalf? The Lord ministers through that discipler, or ministers through that minister. And he gives you the answer. But see, for you to receive it as a man, to receive it from a man, takes what on your part again? I'm going to highlight this. Humility. It's an amazing thing. And really, quite frankly, it doesn't matter who it is. Because it all comes down from the Father of Lights. I know we're coming to the end, and I really never even got to the part that I wanted to do. All right, well, it's already over. Well, maybe I just continue on then. All right. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And he shall lift you up. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. It sounds almost contradictory, doesn't it, when you read that? Man, I want to have joy. I don't want to be afflicted and mourn and all these kinds of things. No, but the things that you have been about, that you've been happy about, and all these kinds of things that have been not of him, let not be the case anymore. Get shed of those things. Look, he shall lift you up, not within yourself. Okay? He's not going to lift you up in the place where you're exalted. Okay? And he's not going to lift you up in your strength. or your own, any of those things. No, he's going to lift you up in his body, in the sense of you're going to be a part of his body in his armor, being that body that he's called you to be, doing the will of the Father. Doing the will of the Father, giving him glory. See, it changes from being you being the one to what? Him being the one. Do y'all see that? And from you being the one to him being the one. And that's something we can rest in, man. Praise God. It's too much for me to handle, but the Lord is well able and it's big enough for him to handle. And ain't one of us can save one another. Not a one of us can save one another. The only one that can save is Jesus Christ. And who are we supposed to be leading people to? Jesus Christ. And glorifying him. All right, with that, I'm done. May the Lord bless.